Chinook, it's a warm wind.
It's a changing wind.
Chinook, a program for and about Alaskan natives.
Chinook Echoes is looking back into Native heritage.
How things are and how they got that way.
Chinook Patterns is information.
Issues that affect the patterns of Alaskan life.
Chinook Profiles, portraits of people, places, events.
But mostly the people who are Alaskan.
This is Chinook Patterns. I'm Paula Schiller. Last week, we began a series focusing on villages to coincide with this month's 8th anniversary of the passage of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. At this year's convention of the Alaska Federation of Natives, two resolutions calling for a statewide village corporation association were passed. This is not the first time that idea has come up, but this year it's been taken farther than ever before. A steering committee is being formed, and there's hope for a statewide meeting this spring. As president of Northway Native Corporation, Rosemary Maher attended some of the preliminary meetings to discuss the formation of a village corporation association, and she's also on the board of Doyon Limited and can see village concerns from that perspective.
I think the villages have been left out of a lot of decisions that have affected them and have let the regional corporations take the burden. And I think that the villages are starting to get concerned that maybe the regional corporations don't always agree with the village corporations on certain issues.
Can you be more specific? I hear everybody will say that in general terms, but not everybody is responsible for a village government the way you are, or in a position to really know what the village needs. Can you tell me what, just in terms of Northway, specifically what you're talking about?
Some of the issues that we differ on would be gravel. The subsurface belongs to the regional corporation and the surface belongs to the village, and it causes conflicts on who's going to sell the gravel for what price. And it, at this point, it's really hard to make gravel available for local projects because of the controversy over who owned it. That once that was determined that the regional corporations owned it, then the problem was how do the regional corporations make the gravel available to the villages without the villages having to pay an arm and a leg for it. The other issues are land. I realize the regional corporations have done a lot in the land situation, but their main concern is subsurface, and the village concern is the surface. And when I was in Washington, D.C. 2 years ago to try to negotiate an easement agreement with the Department of Interior, the only thing that kept coming back to me was AFN does not take that position. And it was really hard to make the village position known without conflicting with AFN at times. So it was really a delicate situation where we didn't want the people in Washington, D.C. to think that we didn't support AFN, but yet our position may have been a little bit different from what AFN was pushing in Washington, D.C. The other concern we have is identity. When I was in Washington, D.C., they more or less didn't even realize that there is a difference between regional and village corporations. We've been lumped in as Doyon Regional Corporation villages, and we don't have our own identity. But yet we're operating as two separate corporations with essentially two different ideas on which should be, because Doyon is mostly a resource-minded corporation, where the village corporations can't take that attitude because they don't have the resources. They only have the surface rights, which would maybe timber. But other than that, I don't see that they have anything common with what Doyon's goals and objectives are. So there's a definite difference in the organizations, but we are lumped together as one organization.
What's the biggest obstacle to Northway making a profit in view of the fact that something's going to have to be done by 1991?
The biggest obstacle I see is we're spending a lot of money trying to get title to land that was given to us, but we have to spend a lot of money fighting with the government for that land. And we don't have the business expertise in the village. We have to go outside and pay a lot of money for consultants to advise us on business matters. Just a general lack of knowledge of the business world.
What do you think AFN or Doyon can do to help you?
I don't think there's much AFN or Doyon can do to help us. Doyon helped us by telling us to get on our own after 5 years. We weren't prepared for it. We started the Interior Village Association, which has been really a big help. And it's kept a lot of small villages from being dissolved, and it's kept a lot of villages from folding. And I think the best way Doyon AFN can help is to support the efforts of Interior Village and also the efforts of starting a statewide village organization.
Okay, that was something that was discussed at the AFN convention this year. Do you see AFN or possibly ANF helping you out with the initial organization of a meeting or a convention?
We've requested that ANF help us organize the steering committee meetings and help us find funding to have the steering committee meetings and also to organize our first meetings. We've also requested AFN to help find funding. I don't know if they'll be effective, but we have asked them for help.
Mm-hmm. So I get back to the problem that sometimes AFN's concerns are different from village concerns?
Well, I've talked to several people with AFN, and they agree that the villages could be a very powerful group if they organized. I think most of them would like to see the villages organize. They're very cautious and concerned about how they would organize. And there's been some talk of organizing the villages on a statewide and regional basis and becoming a membership of AFN, and this is one area that's still being considered.
One of the concerns that I've been hearing in the villages is that the clock is ticking on the shareholders, that they will be able to sell stock, and if villages aren't doing well, if they aren't on their feet, if they aren't making a profit or at least involved in something, people are afraid that stock will be sold just out of hand. Do you have that fear?
Yes. And one of the things that's really hard to do is decide how to get into investments that will make money. We have limited expertise in the village. And let's take Northway, for example. the biggest complaint we hear from our stockholders is we want to see what you're doing with our money, you know. They don't really care whether it's in the bank drawing 14% interest or whether we buy Ween stock or not. They want to see something physical that will show them their money is working for them. So Northway was in need of a laundromat for the community. So the board looked into this. They first went to an architect here locally in Fairbanks and was quoted a figure of $225,000 to draw the plans, to get the contractors and to build the building. And when it was figured, we did some figures on our own and decided that we could never get $200,000 back. It'd take us 20 years. So we did our own figures and found a local person to build the building. And we had problems because none of us have ever been in the construction business. And we spent around half the amount that was quoted us. And we have a nice building in operation. We made a lot of mistakes that next time we'll know not to make again. But it was a real problem that if you go outside your village area, you know, just like this company quoting us almost double the price of what we actually paid to build the building. And this is a problem that I'm sure exists everywhere. Mm-hmm. You don't have the expertise in the village, but when you go out to get it, it costs you an arm and a leg. You can't afford it.
Now, do you think with the statewide village organization that maybe Northway could explain some of their problems? This may be too far-fetched or just maybe too small an instance, but you could explain to some other villages that were having the same problems and needed a laundromat to tell them what you did wrong so they wouldn't make the same mistakes? Or would the statewide organization be more political than that?
No, I don't think it necessarily has to be more political. I think it can be a place where ideas can be shared. I think the thing the statewide organization would do is address issues that are common to villages, such as trying to get title to your land. There's several issues that are common, which would be easements, and navigability, 3E determinations, 14C reconveyances to the city and to individuals, these type of issues that are common to the majority of the villages could be addressed. So I don't feel it necessarily has to be political.
What would you like to see? How would Northway, what's the most immediate thing they could see out of this?
I really can't say. It's, from my personal point of view, it's the most important thing is identity, that we are villages separate from the regions, and that we have problems that the regional corporations don't have, and these problems should be addressed on a village level rather than a regional level.
Rosemarie Maher. She's the paid president of Northway Native Corporation, a member of the board of Doyon Limited, and she's on the board of the Interior Village Association. For Chinook Patterns, I'm Paula Schiller, and Chinook has been a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks.
Chinook, it's a warm wind.
It's a changing wind.
Chinook, a program for and about Alaskan natives.
Chinook Echoes is looking back into Native heritage.
How things are and how they got that way.
Chinook Patterns is information.
Issues that affect the patterns of Alaskan life.
Chinook Profiles, portraits of people, places, events.
But mostly the people who are Alaskans.
Welcome to Chinook Patterns. I'm Paula Schiller. We've been looking at village corporations lately because the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act was passed 8 years ago this month. It's an in-between time, a period of transition from work on the regional corporations and the mechanics of implementation and conveyance toward action, perhaps, in the direction of the villages. At this year's convention of the Alaska Federation of Natives, supporters of a statewide village corporation association made their strongest showing. And in his opening remarks to the convention, President Emeritus and convention co-chairman, Emil Nadi, said the villages are the stronghold of the Native community. He told me later that the villages haven't been left out of things, but that it's just been a matter of timing.
I think the decision to do nothing for a few years was a good decision. By not getting into quick investments over the past few years, the village economically has become stronger, and they reach such a point where they become financially strong enough to have an administration and to start making the investments that are going to make them some money. There was a study done by the Alaska Native Foundation, or projections done a few years ago, where they said if a village had less than 600 people, that they were doomed for failure. I'm not sure that that's true, but what it does point up a problem that the small villages are going to have a very difficult time of making a go of it in the business world. And so by doing nothing for a few years, I think was a good move. And the board of directors of the of Doyon, with that in mind, has not an official policy, but wherever people inquire about it, they do encourage cooperation and mergers between villages, cooperative investments. Mergers are not necessary, but it does give them some economic strengths.
What about some of the feeling I heard expressed that sometimes the concerns of the villages are not the same as the regional corporations or an organization like AFN, that sometimes the villages may end up having very different or competing aims from their own regional corporations?
Well, that may be true, but what it means is that each organization is addressing a different problem and a different aspect of life and society. So it means that each organization has got to be strong enough to stand by itself and be able to take independent action to carry off what needs to be done. It doesn't mean that they're against each other. It doesn't mean they're not concerned about the other one. What it does mean is that they've got to be independent and strong.
But then the villages don't want to be kind of left out on their own either, kind of left to swink or swim while everybody's focusing their attention on the bigger issues or on the regional corporations.
Well, it's not so much of them being left as that they have a job to do, and it's up to them to take advantage of the opportunities that come their way. There are opportunities for villages. I would say that there are more opportunities than they can really take advantage of. There are more projects than they have money for. There are a number of good ones, and there are a number of bad ones. And the village corporations have assets and opportunities that can go a long ways towards making a very good life in the villages, I think. And the opportunities and assets are they have land, and they have money, and they have people. And what they have to do is to put the money and the land and the people all working together to make the kind of life that they want. And You need all three, I think, and they have all three. They need some help in the beginning, but in time, there are a lot of young people, I think, that are in schools now that are going to go back to the villages and make a good life. And I don't think they have to give up completely the old way of life. They can, when they live in a village, they can do the things that they want to do, like being in a fish camp and going trapping, and still be effective in the business world. But in order to do that, they've got to know exactly what they want to do and have the training to carry it off.
There are some that are saying that the clock is ticking on the villages, though, that they may not have time to do everything. Is that the fear is that by 1991, if the villages corporations aren't successful, if they aren't showing a profit, or at least have projects or investments that people can point to, that shares will be sold and the villages just will disintegrate.
Well, that's true not only of villages, but of the regions. And I think the regions will be much more a target of takeover than the villages will be. And so all regions in the state and all villages in the state are faced with the same deadline and the same problem. And that is, they have to scramble to start making a profit and return some benefits to the shareholders so that the shareholders won't want to sell, so that there's a reason to keep their stock ownership of the village and regional corporation. And that's a very difficult one to deal with. A lot of people have worried about it, and a lot of people have thought about it, and no one that I know of has come up with a solution to solving the problem. But it's a danger. But I think if people think about it and work towards it, that that they will not sell their stock off, that the future and the opportunities for themselves as well as their children lie in ownership of the village lands and regional lands, and they won't want to sell it off.
Can you be any more specific about what's going to keep them from selling, or what can change? There is this fear, and it may be just a turning point now. It's eight years after. But can you point to something concrete or something that the villages or people could latch on to that's saying, oh, this is a positive step, this is something that we can see working to our benefit?
Well, that's something that they have to do, you know, that to invest and to make some money. Even if the village was doing nothing, even if the village did not make any money, even if the village did not give a return or a dividend to the shareholders, the idea that they own the land, the idea that they'll determine what the land will do, the idea that they can do what they want to do with that land, I think is enough for people to want to maintain control and ownership of the land. And that by itself, I think, is enough reason not to sell off ownership.
They have the land, but they only have the surface rights, and the regional corporation has the subsurface rights, and that doesn't. So they have a limited use of the land. So it really isn't their land.
Well, it is their land. there isn't anybody in America that gets land from the federal government that gets subsurface rights to it. So most, they're no different position than most owners of land in America, and there is great opportunity there. With surface ownership, you can prevent the development of subsurface rights, or if there is subsurface rights, you get some benefits from it just because you own the surface. There are a lot of things that can be done on the surface that will be beneficial. And there are some good examples of some villages that are doing very well from development on the surface rights that they own in the land. It's good title to the land, and a lot can be done with it. There's a great opportunity to make a good life with ownership of the land.
Do you think at all, though, that there is a transition period going on, that the focus has been on the regional corporations, getting them on their feet, and that the regionals have drawn the top management skilled people to the regionals and kind of left the villages out in the cold, and it's time to sink some of the resources back into the villages?
Well, it's a problem of not enough people to do the job, I think. And one of the things I said at the AFN convention this year was that we ought to make it a year of action for villages, that the regional corporations, that the nonprofit corporations, and that the villages themselves ought to really sit down and do the kind of thinking that's going to result in them being strong entities in the future. I think it's got to be done, and I'm very optimistic that it will be done. It doesn't take very many people in the village to make it go, with the cooperation of the village. And again, I say they have the assets to do it. They have people, they have money, and they have land. And those three elements working together are going to do a great deal, in my view.
Do you see the formation of a village corporation association getting off the ground this year? It was called for by the convention in two resolutions.
Well, I don't know. If there's interest in it happening, it will happen. But it's going to take somebody to devote a great deal of time. And I haven't seen anybody step forward to pick up that burden. If someone does step forward, they will form that group. But I don't see it happening yet.
Do you see a need for it?
No, I don't. I think the villages have the people, and they're strong enough to make the investments and make a good life with what they have. If they see a need for it, they're closer to it than I am, so I can't say whether they need it or not. It would be great if it happens, but if it doesn't, I think villages still have a great future.
Before I turned the tape recorder on, I was talking about the feeling that the time really is kind of running out for villages, and you're expressing optimism that they will survive. I think there's a poster from the 1977 AFN convention that asked the question, will villages survive? But there are still people that work with the villages that have a real fear that question, that will the villages survive, may not have such an optimistic answer. Do you think that it helps to put in the alarm saying that the time is running out, that there are these problems, and it might goad people into action?
Well, the danger, as I see it, for village lifestyle disappearing is through growth. And there's very little anybody can do about that. If in 10 years Anchorage has 1 million people, and Alaska has a couple of million people, you know that the villages are not going to be native villages, because they're required to give to the city government 1,280 acres of land. And you can see anybody moving in can buy land, and therefore the villages will no longer be native villages, but just cities. And that's where I see the problem. And that's why the villages, if they position themselves from an economic point of view, can take advantage of that growth. And it's something that no one can prevent.
But it's something that can be planned for.
It's something that can be planned for, and it's something that can be handled, and it's something that can be taken advantage of. But as far as I can see, it's something that no one can stop.
Emil Nadi is President Emeritus of the Alaska Federation of Natives and President now of Doyon Limited. I'm Paula Schiller, and you've been listening to Chinook Patterns, a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks.